Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, our guest Christopher Gibson will be joining us, and we'll be talking about astrology and specifically charting the heavens. I'm really excited because Christopher is my astrology idol and hero. He's absolutely incredible, so we're going to have a very interesting discussion. But before Christopher joins us, I'd like to welcome my co-host. Good evening, Maureen. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Maureen. Could you share with our listeners a little bit about your work?
Yes, I'm a intuitive psychic advisor, consultant. I'm also an empath, which can be very interesting. But I am very well versed in the tarot, and I use that as my main tool. And I love my work. I love helping people with direction, and every negative can be a positive. And I do feel the tarot is a symbolic record of human experience as well, very much so. And I work at PsychicAccess.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Maureen. It's going to be a fun show. Christopher's yes. Fascinating.
Yes.
He really is. And welcome to you, Brenda. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. I was really looking forward to this show because astrology was my first love. I remember I'll date myself, and I don't even care. In the late 70s, I was doing astrological charts by hand, and that was quite challenging, but it sure taught you how to do it, you know?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm a big fan of astrology.
Oh, yeah. And so I'm really looking forward to it. And I work with both of you, you know, lovely people, and Bobby, who has chosen to not be here today. I mean, the nerve of him. Anyhow, I am a predictive psychic. I work with the tarot and the crystal ball. And I specialize in dates, times, and places. And that's all.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Brenda. And thank you for your enthusiasm about the show. I've learned a lot from Christopher, so I'm really pleased that he's with us. I'll give a little introduction. Christopher's a well-known astrological consultant. His full name is Christopher Gibson, and he's familiar to many people through his national television appearances on CNN, NBC, and Fox. He began his astrology and tarot studies in 1968, and since 1977 has worked as a professional astrologer with an international clientele. He taught astrology and tarot from 1980 to 1996 through community services in Los Angeles City College and has lectured extensively both internationally and throughout the United States. If you'd like to check out his website, it's stellarwisdom.com. Well, good evening, Christopher.
Good evening, Stephen. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very excited to have you on the show, Christopher. I know you've got years and years of knowledge and expertise you could share with us, but we've got an hour together. And I guess I wanted to start, Christopher, by asking you how you first became interested in metaphysics.
Well, it's kind of a difficult question to answer. A lot of it sort of conspired in my childhood when I would have dreams of things that would later happen. So what might be considered prophetic dreams, waking up in the morning and saying something like, oh, grandmother's coming to dinner, and being told not to be ridiculous, and come 5:30 p.m. there'd be a tap on the door and grandma would show up. So as a child, I had an enormous fascination with folklore and world mythology, and specifically classical mythology. And one of the things that started to sort of coalesce for me in my young teens, especially around 12, 13, was the interrelationship between classic mythology and the astronomy that I had been studying, and how all of those stories were basically told in the heavens. So it really started to fuel an interest for me, and I actually began to study astrology at that time from the most simple form, what we might call sun sign astrology. And I started to notice correlations between family members, friends, and the simple descriptions of sun signs. And that pushed me over time to do more serious studies, finding mentors and teachers to work with, and a dream that actually eventually led me to the Brotherhood of Light, which is where I now do my teaching. So it was sort of an interesting conspiracy of events.
It is incredible. I know that obviously with the Brotherhood of Light, you work a lot with Albert Benjamin's writing about astrology and tarot. Could you tell us a little bit about Benjamin, Christopher?
Well, Albert Benjamin was a seer and astrologer, born in 1882, and around, I think it was 1900, he set about to debunk astrology and to prove that there was nothing to it. He was always investigating things such as, you know, hypnotism and ESP and other things. And once he started studying astrology and doing charts for family and tracking events, he actually then turned around to become one of the greatest exponents of astrology during the first half of the 20th century. And around, I believe it was 1909, at a meeting of the Brotherhood of Light in Denver, Colorado, he was quite surprised when he was asked to rewrite their materials and hesitated in making a decision, but within 3 years began to rewrite the written materials of the earlier Hermetic order and putting them into a contemporary language of early 20th century, which those of us who read it now in the early 21st century find the language to be quite antiquated. Nevertheless, it was modernized for that time period, and he spent a good 20 years working on writing the 21 Brotherhood of Light lessons. And he functioned, his training was as a naturalist, and in Los Angeles he was very instrumental in setting up a bird sanctuary and constantly leading nature groups into the wilderness, and that was his background and training, but his passion was metaphysics, and so he had this sort of dual life that he lived, teaching classes through the Brotherhood of Light centers in Los Angeles, as well as being a proponent of conservation and preservation for wild animals. So he did a lot of writings, both under his pen name of C.C. Zane, under which all of the Brotherhood of Light lessons are written, but he also wrote thousands of articles and numerous books under the name Albert Benjamin, and in order to sort of separate his personal writings from the work that he did as a scribe for the Brotherhood of Light.
An amazing man. I have to say, of all of the different tools and resources I've ever looked at, Christopher, on metaphysics, the Church of Light material is the finest, the most comprehensive I've ever discovered, and it's been an absolute joy to work with it. A lot of people ask, where did astrology begin? Where did metaphysics begin? And I know that there isn't one straightforward answer, but could you share with us your view on the origins of metaphysics?
Well, I think the origins of metaphysics probably go back to the origins of human beings. And of course, in the most modern form, Homo erectus and Homo sapiens, setting out across the savannas and populating basically every corner of the world from the tropics to the Arctic, began about 200,000 years ago. And we're truly only left to surmise where that came about. But through, of course, the human thought process, the psychic experience, the experience of dreams, we certainly see in very ancient graves in Western Iran that human beings were being buried with flowers and other materials, perhaps representing a concept of an afterlife. And I know I cannot cite exactly, but I know in the caves in the Pyrenees, probably 45,000 or 50 years old, one of the first instruments discovered that might lead us to believe in a material culture representation of the observation between stellar influences and the human world was a crescent-shaped piece of antler on which there were 13 notches. And one could easily surmise that this represents the 13 days between the first visible crescent of the moon, which is happening tonight, and the full moon. And of course, our ancient mothers would have been very concerned with this cycle because in we could surmise that in prehistoric times that menstruation, much like other cycles among other animals, was linked to the full moon. So this was an observation that our prehistoric ancestor mothers would have been interested in. So that's one of the first links. Now, back to astrology, we have those as one of the first observations of the influences of the moon upon human life. And really, the astrology that we work with, Western astrology, which has also influenced sidereal and Indian astrology, comes out of the Near East, the realm of Mesopotamia between the Tigris and the Euphrates. And it is quite ancient. And there was also astrology practiced in Egypt. Now, around 2,500 years ago, during the Hellenistic periods in Egypt, and of course in the Near East, the Greeks under Alexander the Great spread out across the world, even crossing into Afghanistan and the Indus River Valley, and conquering those territories to the best of their abilities. But they were collectors, not only of, animals and artisans, but also of knowledge. And so they started to form a syncretization between Near Eastern astrology, between Egyptian astrology, and between the mathematics and philosophy that were a part of the Greeks. In fact, astrologos to the Greeks was the queen of the sciences. So our modern day horoscopic astrology, which deals with the time and place, the birth date of an individual, the hour of their birth, and the reading of an individual chart to represent the character and soul and the events that transpires in an individual's life, comes out of horoscopic astrology. Prior to that invention of the Greeks, astrology was primarily practiced in the realm of mundane astrology. What were the events that were going to affect kings and nations? Which is a little bit of what we're going to talk about tonight.
Yes, we are. Because mostly, Christopher, people think of astrology as a way of understanding a person, of understanding the psyche. And I do want to ask you that question because I think it's useful to get your perspective on how astrology is used to understand a person and their soul. But then we'll move on to talk about world events and current affairs and how astrology can help us to understand more generally what's happening in the world. So can I ask you to start with, how does astrology help us to understand the person? How can there be this connection between the movement of the planets in our solar system and a person's psyche?
Well, I think that's a really good question, and the judges are still out on that. Not all astrologers agree on how the process works, and I'm going to give you the perspective of being a hermeticist and a hermetic astrologer. And in hermeticism, we believe that human beings live in two environments. That our physical bodies occupy this physical realm and space of matter, which basically is substance moving below the speed of light, 180 to 172 miles per second, I think it is. And Hermetic astrology believes that every entity also has a corresponding soul, what might be described as our subconscious mind or unconscious mind, and that this is a part of our being which is of a higher vibratory nature, and that it is something that functions in a realm that moves above the speed of light. To the ancients, the Greeks in particular, those realms were called the astral, and you can see in that a root word that we use in astrology, and astral means of a star. So it's in those realms that the astrological forces actually take place. The natal chart, and I will admit here that the work, my specialization is primarily in natal astrology. I am somebody who is fascinated by people and the psyche of individuals and how the symbolic language of astrology can show trends in characteristics and specific idiosyncrasies of temperament. And certainly in consultation, one of the things I frequently hear from people is that it gives them an explanation of who they are, and that there's, you know, some understanding, whereupon speaking to me for the first time, who doesn't know them from Adam, that I can tap into very specific traits of character. So oftentimes astrology gives the individual permission to be themselves. But the way in which this works, as I digress, is that there is this interrelationship between the astral and the physical. And so the planetary movement is measured for that time of birth. And in humans, it's when we take our first breath, that independent action apart from the mother. And the horoscope, the word horoscope means our view. So it is the view of the planets as they are moving up over the ascendant or the horizon on an hourly basis. And the horoscope basically is much like a hologram. It captures a reflection of that solar system at that instant of birth. And in the symbolic language of the planets, the signs, the houses, and the aspects, this becomes a map of psyche or consciousness. This is something to which Carl Jung was very aware and happened to utilize a lot in his work, especially when he came up in blocks in psychotherapy. He would cast the horoscope of a client in order to see the symbolic factors at place within psyche. So the way astrology works is through this interrelationship of the astral to the physical, of the soul to the the body, the influences of the planets, signs, houses, and aspects impinge upon the soul. And what they do is they stimulate us not only in terms of temperament and characteristic, but they also create within us feelings, moods, emotions, thoughts of particular time, type, which lead us towards specific trends in action or behavior. And what we do is we progress charts of individuals forward through their life. We not only interpret the character from birth, which I will say I like to refer to as spiritual DNA, just as we have a physical DNA that can show our predispositions to hair texture or eye color, or whether we're prone to certain illnesses, or whether we got the happy gene and are a laughing baby or a cranky baby. The astrological chart, being our spiritual DNA, also shows predispositions in temperament and towards matters of health, and whether we tend to attract in sunshine or storms with our health, with relationships, finances, etc. What happens by progressing a chart is one can move the planets forward at varying ratios, and different systems are used by different astrologers from different schools. And in Hermetic astrology, we use what are major, minor, and transiting progressions to determine the timing of events. And just as the astral substance is moving above the speed of light, is frictionless, and is functioning at a higher velocity, things happen first there before filtering down to a slower moving physical substance. By tracing these patterns ahead of time from birth, one can see in advance the areas of an individual's life that will be stimulated at certain times or periods in their life, and whether those areas of their life, be it health, finance, study, home life, love affairs, coworkers, etc., are going to be stimulated in a harmonious or favorable or pleasurable way, or whether they might be stimulated in a discordant or painful or misfortunate way. So this is how astrology works. It's through that fact that we live in these two environments, a physical and non-physical realm, and that there is an interrelationship between the two, and that the non-physical realm interpenetrates the physical and has ultimately a molding effect over the physical.
And it can be used as well, Christopher, to understand world events, right?
It can. And what one has to do in the area of understanding world events is one takes the basics of horoscopic astrology and trying to understand the temperament of an individual and the timing of events in their lives, to looking at it from the perspective of understanding the temperament of a nation and or a people, and understanding the events in their lives, just as we as individuals are motivated at certain times or periods to express with expansion and abundance, or with hardship and loss, or with anger and hostility, or with friendliness or peace. Nations also do the same thing. There is a type of mass consciousness that is affected, which we can strongly, of course, in the last year, we've seen this strongly aroused around election time and the type of polarizations that can take place within societies. Now, when we look at a mundane chart, these are sometimes harder to ascertain because some nations that are very old don't have a recorded time of birth. Most of the modern nations, and those especially since World War II, there have been newsworthy events where one can map the chart of a corporate body. that is the nation itself, based on the time, especially those nations that had previously been under the control of colonial powers, pass into their independence. Now, around some charts, as we look at them, especially around the United States chart, which, again, being over, 230 years ago, there is some controversy among astrologers in terms of birth time, and oftentimes there is a process of rectification that takes place, where one does a mapping of national events and then moves around the birth chart in order to determine the time. Other times it is based on having written historical evidence, such as at 0 hour, the island of Mauritius passed from colonial control into independent control. So one can map the chart of the nation, and one can also map the progressed aspects affecting a nation at any given time period and get a sense of how the people will express. What we do is we change some of the descriptions. And instead of, for example, the sun in a natal chart rules the eagle, and the individual sense of control and the power urges of that individual, when we translate that to a mundane chart or a national chart, that then represents the leading power, whether it's the supreme leader, the president, the prime minister, the king or queen or other monarch. The moon will represent the common people and trends and things that have to do with the availability of food. The first house, instead of representing the disposition and health and personal affairs of an individual, becomes the people of a country. So what we do in mundane astrology is we still work with the same planet signs, houses, and aspects, but we expand the vocabulary of each of those areas to embrace the concept of a, not an individual, but of a corporate body.
That's fascinating. I know we said that we would talk about the US, Christopher, and a couple of countries in the Middle East. Are you able to give us an overview of the US psyche at the current time and to some degree the outlook for the US?
Well, I will admit to you that I am more familiar with the US chart than I am with the chart of Iran and Israel. The U.S. chart is something I have studied every year, and I just want to put in my personal disclaimer here in that I am a natal astrologer, and although I am familiar with mundane astrology, I work 5 days a week with natal astrology, and I only and have done so for close to 40 years. And with mundane astrology, it's something I may look at a few times a year, so it's less my area of expertise, but the rules remain the same. The U.S. chart I am quite familiar with, and I work with the Gemini rising chart. There's basically two charts in popular use. The chart which Zane and other astrologers used, which give us a 7-degree Gemini rising, and this is based for July 4th, 1776 at 2:13 a.m., and there is a combination of historic evidence for that as well as rectification by Albert Benjamin. The other popular chart is the Sibley chart, who was a contemporary at the time of the revolution and was a one of your countrymen who calculated a horoscope at the time of the rebellion. So what is curious in this chart is right on the ascendant, we have the planet Uranus, which is the planet that governs the individualistic urges of the soul. It's both the planet of radicalism and rebellion, and our nation was birthed from rebellion against a monarchy in which the colonist felt that they did not have much power of representation. So Uranus is a strong factor in the American psyche. It's that rugged individualism, that strong emphasis on invention and originality and discovery and advancements in science, as well as the importance of placing individual rights above all things. So this is something that markedly maps the American psyche. What is less understood is we also have Mars in the first house. Mars, for anyone that knows their classical mythology, was the god of war. And Mars in the first compartment of the U.S. chart does make for a bellicose nation. And we are a nation which, since our inception, has almost continually been involved in one war or another. So those are two things that are very marked in the U.S. psyche. The second compartment of the U.S. chart, what we call the second house, in a natal chart, rules one's personal wealth, their ability to acquire money, their habits of spending, and their assets. In the U.S. chart, that is actually the strongest house. It has 20.3% of the power of all the 12 houses. And so one of the things, the U.S. does have a dominant, thriving economy that was truly one of the real meanings, although the founding of our nation is very much cloaked in the language of liberty. One of the reasons the colonists wanted their liberty was to have unlimited access to lands and to wealth production. And so wealth tends to be a huge factor in our nation, which operates on a capitalist model. Three of the planets that fall in the sign of Cancer, again, being born on July 4th, makes this a Cancer nation, which is very home-loving and nationalistic. But the benefic planets, Venus and Jupiter, fall in the second house, making us very geared towards wealth production and wealth preservation. Now, currently, in terms of the U.S. chart, one of the most pronounced aspects that has been going on, actually since 2011, is the progressed sun. Again, it rules not only the ruler of the nation, in this case the president, but it can rule other factors as well. We look to the houses within the chart that any planet governs, and most persons with a rudimentary nature of astrology will recognize that the sun is the ruling planet for the sign Leo. And in the U.S. chart, we have Leo on the fourth house. For an individual, that would represent their home and their living environment and their lands. For the nation, it represents the environment. And one of the things that has been going on over the last year is we have been subject to one of the keywords for Uranus is radical. And with the sun squaring Uranus, we have had radical weather changes going on. Everything from that massive tornadoes that hit the southeast last year to most recently Hurricane Sandy and the nor'easter that blew in, affecting the northeast quadrant of our country. So this aspect continues on through June of next year. The sun also governs the second compartment of the chart, which has to do with the nation's wealth. And under this aspect, we'll continue to see erratic behavior in the stock market and in the overall financial structures going on. It can also lead to both some inflation of currency, which we might start to experience. And we could see this in terms of what may be erratic devaluation of homes, and the prices of homes may vacillate in different areas. Though it is also possible under this aspect, which continues through next June. Actually, it's a double whammy, because in April of 2013, the sun moves to aspect natal Uranus. So the aspect continues out through April of 2015, and we may continue during this period of time of seeing a general patterns of little growth spurts, and then steps backward around the finances, around property, around real estate prices, around building. One of the concerns, and as you asked, how does this reflect in the psyche of the nation? And certainly over the last year, we have seen sort of radical extremes growing, some which are greatly covered in the news and some of which are ignored in the news. And they can be anything from sort of radical right, being groups such as the Tea Party, and or the towards the left groups that might represent the Take Back Wall Street. So it's creating a lot of polarization and extremism within the American psyche at this time. And I think we can continue to see this grow during this period of time, as well as what may be, of course, with our the re-election of President Obama, one can suspect from the astrological perspective that he will be under a lot of stress, the sun ruling the nation's leader during this period of time, and what will probably be attacks from extremists of both both sides of the aisle, from the left and from the right.
It's certainly going to be an interesting presidential term. Well, Christopher, it's absolutely fascinating. We're going to take a very short commercial break, and then we'll continue talking about the outlook for the states, and then also talk a little about the Middle East. And that's particularly interesting given that today there's a real upsurge of violence between Israel and the Gaza Strip. So we'll take our short break, and then we'll come back.
All right. Thank you.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
So, Christopher, welcome back. And the interview is absolutely fascinating. This is a show that I'm going to listen back to a number of times. You've got so much to share. I wanted to ask you, Christopher, about warfare. As you said, the Mars is in the first house in the US chart, and the country has pretty much always been at war in some shape or form. And obviously we've pulled troops out of Iraq, and we've committed to pulling troops out of Afghanistan. You were talking about the economy, and that's absolutely fascinating as well. But I wanted to ask you, do you feel that there will be continued conflict, or the US will be engaged in conflict in the next year or two?
Well, I mean, it's almost always guaranteed to some degree, even if it's being on the receiving end of conflict, much as the events towards the U.S. Embassy in Libya recently. And there, what I am hopeful of, and with Obama's plan to do the pull down from both Iraq and Afghanistan, right now in the U.S. chart, Mars by progression is at 18 degrees of Libra. This places it in an aspect known as a trine with the natal moon in the chart, in the 10th house of the U.S. chart. The moon is in Aquarius, and the moon generally represents more pacifist forces and or a reputation of working to do things for the benefit of both women and the common people of other nations. With this aspect from Mars, again, Mars is prominent in the chart, and there's almost always conflict of some kind. But I do believe that under this aspect, we will see an ongoing period of time where there may be a drawdown of personnel from the occupied areas, and also great hopes that in these regions there are going to be more of a focus on humanitarian efforts and humanitarian aid, which is represented by the moon in the U.S. chart. The other thing that one looks at, and I'm actually not prepared for this tonight, but in mundane astrology, there are basically two types of charts which are used. These are the birth charts of nations and cities, what I called earlier the corporate bodies. And then there are also what are called cycle charts. And the observations of the ancients and astrologers unto the present were that when the planets passed over the celestial equator, moving from south declination to north declination, that there is a shift in that planetary energy. And so a snapshot is taken, sort of a Polaroid image of the heavens at that exact moment. Of course, it varies from nation to nation, and the cycle charts are calculated for the capital cities of different nations. The Mars cycle chart is the chart that we look at for each nation in terms of their engagement in hostilities of any kind and in armed conflict. And unfortunately, I do not have that prepared. I've just recovered from a software crash and did not have that available for tonight's conversation. But that is another area one can look to see for the potentiality of war. But looking at the chart, it is my good hope that we will start to see a de-escalation in these areas where we have had troops committed over the last 12 years. The one concern is this year, back at the end of April, the progressed ascendant in the U.S. chart moved forward into a sextile or a 60-degree angle with the progressed Mars. And what this does, the ascendant represents the American people themselves and or the physical well-being of the nation. And, of course, since that time, we have again become a little more vulnerable in terms of our presence on foreign soil, which is our embassies. And this aspect does continue through August of 2014. And I do think there may be, and that the nation needs to be on alert and And to have these areas protected during this period of time, that there may have to be a more stringent level of security going on.
It's interesting, Christopher, because there's a lot of tension in the Middle East. Obviously, there always is. But particularly in the run-up to the election, we had the situation with Iran and the fears that Iran is looking to develop nuclear weapons. And obviously the tension that that created with Israel and the Israeli authorities saying that they may take preventative action. And then today we have, or yesterday, the Israelis assassinated the military leader of Hamas. And today, the Palestinians, or from the Gaza Strip, there have been missiles launched into Israel by way of retaliation. And I know that it's a very complex dynamic. And I find the Middle East very, very fascinating, and tried to look at both sides of the story. But are you able to give us a feel for Iran's chart and Israel's chart so that we can consider in more detail the dynamics between...
Whether we need to build bomb shelters again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've studied Iran's chart a lot
and Israel's. And I guess I learned from you, Christopher, and from your teaching that although we can use astrology to understand what's very likely and to work with those energies to avert discord, we do have free will. And collectively, if we envision peace, we can have an influence. We can shape the future to some extent. So I don't want to be fatalistic about it, but realistically, things are really heating up in the Middle East, and I wanted to get your view on that from an astrological perspective.
Well, I do believe you're correct, you know, when you said that there's always something happening there. And to speak of Israel, one invites controversy regardless. I mean, certainly it is a nation that was born out of controversy and born out of the mandates of a colonial empire. But Israel came into being May 14th, 1948. And this is basically when the British mandate of Palestine was divided into both Palestine and Israel. It was actually done at 4 p.m. that day. The original plan was to do it for 0 hour in the U.K., but that fell during Shabbos in Israel, so it was moved up to 4 p.m. of the previous day on the 14th to avoid the Sabbath. This gives for a very interesting and a very powerful chart for the nation of Israel. It is steeped in a certain amount of conflict due to the fact that in this birth chart, the planet Jupiter falls in the third house. In a natal chart, we look at the third house in terms of one's relations with their brothers and sisters or their neighbors. When we extend this outward to a nation, we are looking at neighboring nations. Now, Jupiter falls there in the sign of Sagittarius. Jupiter is both the religious planet, and Sagittarius is the religious sign. So one of the things we can see is there is an immediate conflict going on here with one's neighbors that is philosophically and or religiously based. Israel is both a secular nation, but it is also a Jewish state. And there is certainly historically, since the 6th century, and the expansion of Islam, both a love-hate relationship between these two nations. They are two of the world's three Semitic religions, or what might be called Abrahamic religions, since both Christianity, Islam, and Judaism claim a descendancy from Abraham. So on some levels, there are these great similarities, both in terms of, you know, dietary restrictions and restrictions of visual images designed to show deity or even other people that are, they are visual prohibitions in both cultures. Nevertheless, there are other tensions that are going on between these religiously diverse nations. Jupiter in the third house of neighboring nations opposes Uranus in the ninth house of relations with foreign countries. And the oppositions tend to create constant conflict and separation. And again, the world, not only Israel, but the world itself is highly polarized over Israel's relations with its neighbors, especially with Palestine and the very uncertain boundaries that keep getting moved back and forth. Now, in terms of full-fledged warfare at this time, at the end of, we again look towards Mars, the Lord of War, and at the end of September, on the 24th of this year, the major progress Mars in the Israeli chart did move up to a semi-square with Saturn. Both Saturn and Mars are considered in astrology to be the greater and lesser malefics, bearers of misfortune of some type. This particular aspect goes from September of this year until February of 2016. And this, the nature of the semi-square generally does not indicate enormous conflict. It's considered, a semi-square is a 45-degree angle when any two planets are 1.5 signs apart from one another. And it tends to be mild, but it tends to be a ongoing level of friction. So I remain mildly hopeful that during this period of time, there will be the squabbling, the bickering, the suicide bombers, and the missiles being lobbed back and forth across the border, and the covert operations geared towards taking out military leaders. But I do hope that because of the mildness of that aspect, that Israel is able to refrain from full armed conflict.
So it sounds like more of the same where more Israel of the is same. Concerned. Where
yes,
Israel
a kind of grinding irritation.
Yeah. How about Iran, Christopher?
This is a little bit of a harder chart to work with. There's some slight discrepancies between the charts available for Iran, but the one I use is for February 11th, 1979, when the forces directed by the Ayatollah Khomeini were able to basically upset the previous government of the Shah, Reza Pahlavi. And so the time for that is when those forces took control of the nation was around 2 p.m. in Tehran on February 11th, 1979. So this chart has a very powerful sun, and one of the things that marks this revolutionary nation, Iran was one of, in modern age, one of the new Islamic states. This was begun by Pakistan, and I think it was, again, shortly after the partition of India back after 1949. And so other nations such as Mauritania and ultimately Iran became theocracies or religious-based nations. Well, in the chart of the new Iran, the dominant planet, the sun, conjuncts Mercury in the ninth house of religion and philosophy. So there are great shifts that have been made back towards somewhat radical and or very traditional or orthodox faith. Mars in that chart does fall in the eighth house, and that can also create some internal warfare. Iran primarily has only had skirmishes along its border in the last 20 or so years with Iraq, but there have also been, I think, if my memory still serves me right, incidences of internal genocide against the Kurdish people, that whose nation basically stretches through Turkey and Iraq, Iran. So there has been internal loss and death and conflict, and although there is a lot of brandishment and beating of chest from that nation, there haven't been a lot of external attacks going on. Mars, however, is strong in this chart, and there perhaps needs to be concerns about the use of nuclear power being directed towards weapons. But that, you know, that also brings up the discussion of, you know, who decides what nations have access to nuclear weapons and who doesn't, and whose hands do they fall? So that certainly is going to be the great question at this time. And before we run out of time, the aspects for Iran are very bad in terms of diplomatic policy going from the beginning of last year on through this year. I think that in 2013, between the end of January of 2013 and October of 2014, there may be other skirmishes that takes place, or at least there could be a lot of threats that go on. I am hoping, though, what's happening in the Iran chart is Venus, the planet of peace. This is the olive-carrying dove. Right now is moving up into a conjunction with the natal bars of that nation's chart. And I am hoping that this will move the Persian people towards what may be peaceful negotiations and dialogue with their neighboring countries and with the international community, rather than moving towards conflict. Of course,
well, let's pray that that's the case. I know that if we all continue projecting good thoughts and praying, it does make a difference. And I want to thank you, Christopher. It's been an absolutely fascinating show and an honor to have you with us. We'll definitely want you back.
Well, visualize world peace.
We will. And we'll visualize having you back on the show, Christopher. And thank you
all
once
right,
again.
I thank
it's been
you
absolutely
for inviting me
fascinating.
I
Okay,
thought
well,
also.
Doug's just letting Christopher go, but he we've talked primarily, Maureen, about astrology, but Christopher knows an enormous amount about tarot as well, so we should have him back sometime to hear what he has to say about tarot.
Yeah, what I thought was very great, it was very nice to focus in on the nation and all that instead of how we normally would discuss astrology, everything. It was quite enlightening to me.
Absolutely.
It was enlightening, but it was also, in a
Eye
way,
opener.
it was an eye opener.
Yeah, it really was, definitely.
And I
You
thought
can
it
see
was
the
just
patterns.
great to have that discussion about the Middle East when we've got things really heating up today
Oh,
between
it today,
Israel.
today.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. So I want to just remind all of our viewers that if they would like to learn more about Christopher's incredible work, his website is stellarwisdom.com. That's StellarWisdom.com. And I know Christopher's off the line now, but I want to thank Christopher for the record. I've got a lot of respect for him. He's a wonderful person to learn from, and I really appreciate him taking time out of his busy schedule to share his insights with us. If you'd like more information on Christopher, you can also look at his profile on the Psychic Access Talk Radio website. We have a profile page for each of our guests, and you can learn about them. And remember that the shows are archived as well. Before we move on, I want to make a few announcements. Please be sure to stay tuned for the rest of the show. And after our interaction between the co-hosts, you can get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready for that. And if you would like to listen to last week's show, you can go to the archives at psychicaccesstalkradio.com, and you'll find all of the archives there as well. Just click on the archives tab, and do feel free to circulate those links to your friends via email or on Facebook, and to tell people about our future shows. We want to connect with as many people as possible, so if you can help us with that, we would be very grateful. Please do also visit our website, psychicbloggers.com. There's a huge amount of information there shared by the very gifted psychics and intuitives working at psychicaccess.com. You can learn about all kinds of different subjects from reincarnation to psychic development, so do check that out. It's psychicbloggers.com. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our psychics are verified, accuracy tested. They each offer their unique gifts, and there are profiles on the website for you to look at each psychic and their certain abilities and the way that they work. So do check those out and choose a psychic that you feel a connection with, somebody that can help you. I want to thank Doug just quickly at this stage as well, because he maintains very high standards at Psychic Access and expects us all to work to those standards. All of the co-hosts on the radio show are also available at Psychic Access. So if you'd like a personal reading from one of us, do come and see us. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have your own website, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading for traffic referred to psychicaccess.com. If you'd like more information about that offer, please go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room and to participate or to listen to the psychic viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word. Now, I'd like to give you the telephone number for a little later in the show when we will take our readings or take calls from callers and give live readings. That number is 724-444-4851. I'll repeat that for you. It's 724-444-4851. Well, I want to ask you, Maureen, in more detail what you thought about the show.
Well, I was really like Brenda and I both said eye opener. It was an eye opener that he was, to me, it was actually outrageously unbelievable because talking about the nation and the chart, well, everything about not just like an individual person's chart, but about what's going on in our world right now. To me, that was quite educational. That's something that I've never, you know, I'm well versed in astrology from like Brenda from the 70s doing that, but not in the aspect of what he was going to, what he spoke about with the nation. I've heard about the numerology as far as, you know, what, you know, the type of, you know, things are going on in the world of numerology, but never have I heard anybody speak about a nation or the Middle East, everything like that. It was quite enlightening for me and made sense.
It's incredible, isn't it, how we can understand an individual person's psyche or the psyche of an entire nation and look at dynamics between nations and actually determine events that are highly likely as well.
It's like, yeah, it's like doing a a compatibility chart, but except with the nation and with, you know, what's going on in the Middle. That's what I was getting from it. And it was great. I've never listened to anybody speak, like I said, until now about the comparison of what's going on now with the nations. Like I said, with the personal people, you know, charts and all that. But this was pretty great and very interesting, and I learned a lot.
Yeah, and the thing I like is that it's so important in my mind that we build the bridge between metaphysical systems and our metaphysical understanding and what's actually happening in the real world. So we do that all of the time with clients when we're giving readings to clients.
Yes.
But it's fascinating to draw the parallels between metaphysics, astrology, for example, and world events. And for me, I always say to clients, Maureen, that when it comes to the bad stuff, it's our job to be wrong. It's our job to say, you know, this is something I foresee, but you can change this. You're in control. You can influence the future. And so you hope that the client comes back to you and says, well, absolutely, that didn't come about. I was able to avoid it. And I feel there's a big opportunity for us to do that with some of these world crises.
Absolutely, I agree with that. That's why I think the show was quite an eye-opener for that, knowing that. Absolutely. Great guest. Great guest for this. Well, he absolutely was very well versed and knew what he's talking about too.
Yeah, he's very articulate as well. A really, really
smart
guy. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for him. But Brenda, what are your thoughts?
Well, I knew about the astrological chart of nations, and I knew about all that stuff, but the way he explained it was very comprehensive. And it's really, you know, you hear about world leaders, most of them have had their own personal astrologers. And, you know, this stuff, these universal truths, they're available to us to help us enhance our lives, protect us, warn us, you know, show us, you know, so that we can be prepared. And I feel that, especially in this time when we're entering supposedly some sort of age of enlightenment, and we're cusping on the Aquarian age, you would think that astrology really needs to, if people paid a little bit more attention, perhaps they would be able to avert a lot of this stuff. But I think that we've gotten so far entrenched in you know, maybe the technological age or religions that say, you know, you can't, you know, astrology is evil and stuff like that, that you're really missing something that could really guide your life. And I'm not talking about the individual, you know, on a higher level with the world leaders.
Some of them do, though, Brenda. You know, Reagan consulted, or
I know
Nancy
he did.
Reagan
I know she did.
An astrologer every day. I mean, they say that Air Force One didn't take off without the approval of the astrologer. And there was a period when his life was at risk and he didn't step foot out of the White House, I think, for 2 or 3 months. Only on one occasion he stepped out.
So then what happened? They don't do it anymore? What's up with that? I think that Clinton used an astrologer too.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
And he foresaw his own death, didn't he? He had
did.
A prophetic dream.
He did. I know, that was pretty amazing. It's we can see it because we're in the spirit. We work in the spiritual realm all the time, and you know it's almost like in some ways we're on the outside looking in because we can see all this stuff. But you know, it keeps going forward anyhow. Whereas in a lot of the ancient societies, like he was talking about the Mesopotamians, the ancient Egyptians, I mean, especially in the Hellenistic, you know, in the Ptolemy age, when astrology, they had their whole calendar was all about astrology. Their whole, like, monthly calendars, every day had an astrological thing in it, you know, and that's how they lived their lives. It was a society, well, I call it a magical society. It could be called an enlightened society.
We forget, don't we, that the days of the week are named after the planets.
They are, isn't that amazing?
Sunday, for example. We forget these things.
Monday, moon day, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, I liked what he said about Saturn, because Saturn's my ruling planet, and it's like such a bummer sometimes when you think, well, okay, what is Saturn? It's so heavy. It's all these lessons.
You know?
It can be a real anchor too, you know?
Well, it's like everything though, Brenda, in that it has polarity. So in astrology, each sign of the zodiac has polarity, a good application and a more negative application. And it's the same of anything in life, really, isn't there? There's a good application and a poor application.
There is. And for us to know this ahead of time, then we can, and that's how exactly when you're talking about the polarities, I think a couple shows back, we were talking about healing or herbs or something. And in the Middle Ages, they used astrology, you know, medical astrology, and they prescribed, if they saw an illness, they prescribed what the opposite thing was on the wheel. Isn't that fascinating?
The antidotes, absolutely.
The antidotes, yes.
Yeah. And you can do that as well with herbs and vitamins, with flower essences, colors, and meditations. You can do that. I'm very interested in medical astrology, and I'm just blown away by how evidential it is. I mean, you take 100 people that got sick, and you can demonstrate exactly what went wrong and when through their progressed charts. The more I look into metaphysics, the more I feel we've got access to everything. If we just look how to decode things.
We really do. I mean, we really do. And medical astrology is pretty fascinating.
Fascinating. I agree. Actually, back in the day, it could have been yesterday, you guys, but it was way back.
It was only a few years back.
It was back in the day in the, you know, the 80s. I was self-taught, but astrology before they had all the computerized things that would do it all for you, that's the best way to learn, to do it just longhand, I guess, but long-brained. You know, I have to get everything just right in the degree and everything. That was it was fascinating, but I found out I purchased a book. We didn't have an internet going on then. A book from 1930. It was, I went to a secondhand. It was from the 30s, and it was fascinating, but a lot of it just focused on medical issues around your chart. What if you had certain planets and whatever, the square, trine, whatever, and aspects.
Interesting.
And I have it still. It's fantastic. And it was like, it's a classic book. And it's, what I did was, I did my own. And found out it was amazing what my chart was coming up with what it was saying in the areas. Yes, I did have these things going on. Now, this was when I was in my 20s. So, I mean, I'm talking about to the T. I don't like using that word, Mr. T. I mean, really to a real, I mean, I don't want to say, well, just about things affecting different parts of my body. And yeah, later on, it was truth. It was truth. It was fascinating how I needed, and also what I could do to help take care of not going in that direction and make, you know what I mean, how it can really open, like Steve said, you know, if we have this insight of how, I don't know, Steve, if you did say it or whatever, but how we can steer our way, you know, around it or be aware of it and make it more positive than a negative experience. But it was very clear and direct of what some of the stuff that I did have going on in my body or
it's
medical.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And we've got a whole show of readings next week, haven't we, Maureen?
Yes, we sure do, as we do every Thanksgiving.
Yes. Be there this time. I will be there that time. I will not be in a turkey coma. I will be there.
Steve and I will be there. I think Bobby said he might, I'm not sure, but Bobby may be there.
Yeah, where is that Bobby? Like,
I know, where's really? Bobby? We miss Bobby. But Steve can do a Bobby.
That's okay. We've got Steve all to ourselves tonight.
Yeah, and Steve can do imitation of Bobby talk if he wants to.
Not as well as he could do an imitation of me.
It's in his chart. It's in his chart. He's very versatile. Steve's very versatile with doing other people. No, anyway, I'm just being kind of funny, you know.
Well, I look forward to that show because I think it's great to interact with callers for 2 whole hours. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun when they get back from their turkey adventure and they're just mellow and they're open up to all sorts of readings and everything else, you know, instead of passing. I think it's nice for the caller people.
It's a nice treat for them. It is a nice treat for them.
And anything, you know, we're going to have fun. We always have fun on Thursdays at Thanksgiving. Well, I do.
Yeah, it is fun. I enjoyed it a lot last year. I go to my friends for the Thanksgiving dinner and then I come home and have a little rest. Then we've got the show. A lot of fun.
Do they have turkey in England? They don't, do they? Turkey in England?
Yes, but not Thanksgiving, because you're thankful for getting rid of the British.
Really?
My
survival.
My friend Leona, who is my bestest friend, and she's my daughter's godmother. Leona, she's a dual citizen, but she does Thanksgiving because she's American, but she's also married and she lives in England, but she still does Thanksgiving. She says she doesn't care what the family says. She still does it. So yeah,
I like it. I think it's a great time of year in the States. I love the fact that, you know, summer ends and we enjoy fall and seeing the leaves drop and the colors changing, and then we have Thanksgiving as a holiday, and then you turn around and it's the Christmas holiday. So it's a fun time of year.
Do you cook any of that? Do you cook at all, Steve?
I do like to cook, actually. I live alone, so I don't cook a lot. But if I have friends here or family here, I do cook. I cook quite well, actually, because I lived in France and the lady I lived with there taught me to cook. And she's an amazing cook. Really wonderful.
Well, France is the place, I'm telling you. The best tasting food you'll ever taste.
Yeah, I miss the cheeses. Mm-hmm. Although, like, you can get very good cheese in the States now.
I like the wine myself, but and also they're, I like French cooking because I do that too. I like.
Well, France was born under the sign of Leo. I happen to know that.
Why I identify and I cook well French food well, and I'm an American. Because I'm a Leo by sun sign.
And some of the events of their history is like so totally Leo, with like Louis the
14th. Yeah, you're right.
And the peasants, and let them eat cake. And
they're so vivacious, and they're just moving, and they're all dramatic, and they're stars.
And the peasants were eating grass. They were making grass soup. That's so sad. Oh.
Well, that's fun time. Fun times.
Fun times. Well, we're going to start taking calls, actually, because we've got a caller already. And this first caller is for you, Brenda. And this is a call from Wisconsin.
Hi, Wisconsin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What can I do for you? What's up, my dear?
Yes, I had a question. I had met somebody, and I was just wondering what you'd see, if this is a person that would be right for me or not.
Let's take a peek here. Oh, there's good energy around this. And I'm seeing that the communication between you and this person is going to pick up dramatically. I see him very clearly. And it looks like this is a relationship that has a staying power. It really does. It was an unusual way in which he entered, but I see that it's a relationship that has some staying power. As a matter of fact, in many ways, you're going to find yourself kind of taking a chance and doing things that you probably wouldn't have done in other relationships before. Because I see him kind of fun-loving, maybe even adventurous. Okay. I also see, this is interesting too. I see someone from the past wanting your attention, but that often happens when you meet somebody new. And this person from the past is just kind of like, when he re-enters, I'm not seeing that he's anything significant. I feel it's probably one of these things where he's curious about closing a circle instead of the other way around.
Okay.
Yeah, and, so this looks good. I mean, I see, what else do you, I mean, I see the love card. So it's like, I wouldn't overanalyze this. What it's telling me is just, you know, go with it.
Just okay, go with so it. He's not like, there's nobody else he's involved in or, you know, interested in or anything.
I feel that there could be somebody from the past he's still talking to, but I'm not seeing a relationship. I feel that there's some kind of connection between the two of them. And that it could be that he helps her in some way, but I'm not seeing a love relationship. Not at this time.
Okay, would it be probably one of his, probably his child's mother?
It could be, definitely her, because I see an exchange of money, so he could still help her.
Oh, okay, yeah, because they have a child together, so that makes sense to me, it really does. Okay. So you see it as this relationship progressing and having, like, potential?
Yeah, I do, I do. I feel it's too soon for you to, like, make wedding plans, you know, even in your head.
Okay,
it's going to move forward.
Okay, so so it could be long-term, possibly.
Yeah, it's got potential. It does.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, well, I thank you very, very much.
You're welcome, honey.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Brenda. This next caller is for you, Maureen, and this is a caller from Texas.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, Texas. This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? And what's your name?
Marion.
Marion. Hi, Marion. And what can I help you with?
My boyfriend and I dated for a year, and he's always struggled with falling in love. And just recently, he broke it off with me about 2 weeks ago. Haven't heard from him since. I have probably made an attempt at text message maybe last week, with no response. Wondering if it is something that is completely over, and perhaps is there a reason, or is it something that will rekindle at some point?
Okay, got it. All right. You know, this is what I'm getting. I do want to say this. There's nobody else in your life, right? This is the main person you're talking about, because I just want to make sure of this, because I do see that you two have a very strong connection, and I'm not going to use the word soulmate, but I just did. But it's like there is a strong bond, definitely, and that can be sometimes difficult when you have a very strong bond that goes beyond even physical. Not that I'm saying you've done a physical, but I do feel that it looks like he's, you know, a lot of times when people have their, like, he had some issues recently, and it's almost done, but almost like his job stress was getting mixed up between your relationship and his stress on his job, so he detached. But I think you might have said this, but I also feel that this has been a pattern that may be going on between you two, but I do get it's because of his fear, or not a fear, but his feeling of being inadequate. And it's like that's his lesson. But I do think what I'm seeing coming up in the months ahead, I think right now things all are about good timing with you two. I see a trip, a short trip or something. If you had talked about any having a getaway, yeah, something of some sort. I do see that happening. But then again, I see a detachment again. And you know what? I think maybe boundaries would be a really good way. I feel that you two have a really good opportunity here, but I think that if you don't put boundaries into the situation and really stand your ground, it's almost like there's been a pattern that's ongoing. Do you follow me on that?
Yes.
So it's up to you.
I feel hot cold.
Yeah, but it's like I feel you're the one that I am getting that really can stop this insanity, this tape, this loopy type and pattern. And that's going to be difficult, but I don't feel consider the alternative. If you don't, it will continue on like this. I feel that he'll step it up, but I feel that you're the one that needs to really put the boundaries in place. Cause, and I do see him step, I do see him getting it together with this. Also, stay away from outside influences of other people. Yeah, just too many people getting, it seems like they can be involved with your situation. Who knows why, but well, a lot of troublemakers and, you know, people that don't belong in your business, personal. want to marry this person? Is he free? Are you both free to be married? You're both.
Yes. And okay. We were in the process of talking about that and possibly for this December. And then all of a sudden he tells me that he just never had feelings for me, or his feelings never grew, and he didn't feel like he was in love.
He's doing a little number on you. You know what? I don't believe that. I think that he's doing that out of fear. But it's not your job to get his lessons of fear all in order. The thing of it is, I do see, it looks like around springtime, if you can, you need to detach from him, or I'm encouraging you. I'm not telling you what you have to do, but I encourage you to detach from him, really, and you're going to really have to believe that it's okay to do so, because I don't see you running the risk of losing him. But if you losing him right now the way he is just... It's just not good. It's not good to go out. You'll go crazy going on and on like this with him. I do feel that if you have, he does not want to lose the situation, but he's been able to do it by tolerate. You've tolerated it with him coming back and forth. But I do see it in the springtime. He looks like he's really being able to commit with really a lot of love and a lot of sincerity. And that's why I asked about marriage. He'd be one that would be, but I don't feel it's going to happen until you make the decision to say, listen, no more. And really detach and let him get through this. Let him be held accountable for this instead. I do feel that it'd be to your best interest. And I see it working if that's the case. I'm not saying to play games, but I do see it working. I hope you followed what I mean. And I know you can do it.
I'm determined to just let it go for a little bit, let him breathe for a little bit and try to figure out what he wants and what he did feel for me. But, when do you see, or when do you anticipate him being initiating any type of conversation?
I see him soon doing this. I see him really soon coming back into and initiating. But then again, I see coming back into that pattern again of detachment. So This is what I'm saying. Maybe you should be the one about saying you need the time to detach from him, not saying, looking at the other way around for him to, because. Like I said, I do see soon, I see a really positive thing, like real soon. Within the next week, I see wonderfulness. And then it comes back into the same thing again, detachment. And, you feeling crazy about it, going crazy.
Until I nip it, I guess. And you're right, I've made a decision. I said if he comes back, he's going to have to come back and totally show me that he wants to commit. Otherwise, I'm not taking him back like this. I'm not going to be on the seesaw ride anymore, and I'm going to make it a point to make it very clear to him.
Correct. That's what I feel is, yes, that is correct. And by doing so, it's going to give him, it's going to help him change. You're not doing it for him, and you're not doing this for that reason, but he'll get the benefit of it by you detaching. Exactly. And I do see a lot of good potential with you too. Absolutely. But not like this, round and round we go, but I feel that you can do it. And I do see some really positive outcome. I know you have the strength available. It's just tiresome to go through what you're going through anyway. And this round and round circle with him. So there you have it. So I hope I helped
you
and you can
absolutely
do it. Okay, well, thank you for calling. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Well, the next call is from Georgia, and I'm taking this call. Who's calling? Hello, Georgia, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Hello.
What's your name?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. What's your name?
Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
And
how can we help?
Are you Bobby?
No, this is Steve.
Okay. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Bobby just pretends to be me.
I am still waiting to hear about a job opportunity, and I've gotten no feedback, so I'm not sure what's going on. I know they haven't interviewed anyone else. I've been the only one that they interviewed, but I haven't got an offer. I haven't got a no. And the recruiter is saying they don't know what's going on. So can you see what's going on?
My guides are saying that the organization is changing, the structure's changing. They say that you'll know by Wednesday. I feel that it will be favorable, but I feel that the role or the offer will be slightly different. It's as though what they now need is slightly different from what they think they needed originally. So I feel you receiving an offer, but it will be slightly different. But I don't feel it's a big issue because you're open-minded and flexible, and my guides say you're very motivated, that you want the opportunity, and I feel that it can work out well for you. I'm drawn as well to February, and I'm just asking if they're taking me back to February of this year or forward to February of next year. Forward, they're saying. So there's another change for you in February. I don't feel that it's a problem, but I feel that there's another opportunity in February. And you're...
With that?
Yes, it does feel like the same group. It doesn't feel that you would leave them. I feel as though there's either a promotion or another opportunity in February. And I feel that there's a potential relocation for you next year as well. Are you open to relocation?
I think what you're picking up on, I'm glad you actually picked up on that, but I think what you're picking up on is I have to, with this particular job, they're actually moving their headquarters from Chicago to Georgia. So
okay.
I will be up in Chicago for 3 months or so, leaving home on Monday, returning on Friday. So is that what you're talking about or something
yeah,
totally different?
Yeah, I feel you working at a distance. I feel you working
right.
at a
that,
distance.
That would
I feel
be,
travel.
Yes, I'll be, like I said, leaving home on Monday and returning on Friday for 2 to 4 months, it would be. So that, okay, so you actually picked up on that. So that's perfect. So you're thinking by Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I will hear from them?
Yep, my guide say Wednesday, about 3 p.m., 3:15 p.m. I feel is when you'll know. And I do feel it's favorable. You're a good person to employ. You're very hardworking. My guides are saying be clever about how you work. It's about results and not necessarily the time. So
okay.
You're different as well. You're not the kind of person that organization usually employs. You're different. You're quite original in the way you think and the way you see things. And I feel that they see good potential in you. They see good leadership ability. So I do feel it works out. And I wish you lots of luck. You'll have to email me and let me know if it works out on Wednesday.
Yeah, I will, because this has been going on it'll be 3 weeks tomorrow, so I'm just really curious to see what will happen. I'll call back in and let you know, or, you know, whoever
right.
answers to tell you, or, yeah, I'll let you know, because I'm real curious to see the ending of this one. So
thank you, and good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, take care now. Okay, well, Brenda, you have a call from...
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Hi, Pennsylvania. Good evening.
Hello. Is this Brenda?
Well, it is. What would you like to know tonight?
I am in school, and I'm doing I have to do an internship. And I wanted to do it at an international foods place. And I'm really having... second thoughts
about going to the school
I wanted to learn about the international foods, and they do events where they pair the foods with the wines and the beers and stuff, and I want to incorporate that with my into a business layer when I get my farm back.
Okay, now let's take a look. So you're kind of on the fence on which school
yeah.
to go with, is that it?
Yeah. Well, whether I should go with or just pick your basic company and just do a company instead of, it's going to be a lot of travel. It's not paid. It's, you know, it's going to be a large task to take on.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm seeing is that a lot of the skills you already have. I mean, there, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it's really necessary to do this at this time. It feels like you could get things started with your work and your business before this, and you could continue your education. I'm getting the feeling that it's really kind of up in the air right now, and what's going to happen is there could even be a signal financially that tells you to put on the brakes and to wait until another time. Do you see what I mean? Because it's a little bit, and you almost kind of are feeling this yourself. I see that there's going to be some new energy and some new information that'll tell you that, and maybe it's somebody who's already done this that says, you know what, I should have stayed here, I could have learned just as much, I could have done this and that, and I didn't really need to, because I'm seeing some of the hidden things around this is some hype that goes along with it.
Okay. I need this internship to graduate, and I didn't want to waste the internship. If I'm going to donate my time, I want to do it and, you know, get something out of it.
Well, is this the only internship that's offered to you? Because I feel that you're going to be able to complete an internship, but you may not have this one that you have to do. It might be something else that opens up for you or that's available.
The school, it didn't give me anything. This is all that this is what I came up with on my own, because I wanted to incorporate this into my business. And I thought, you know, the pairing of the foods with the beers and the wines,
mm-hmm.
you know, and events, you know, like Oktoberfest through Germany and Sweden and all that.
Right.
And mm-hmm. Halloween have hay rides and, because they'll be out in the country, that type of thing.
Well, it feels like you're going to be able to do something like this, but without the expense of all the travel. Because it feels like you're going to find a way, and you kind of put your head together on this. Because I see you saving money on this. I don't see you putting as much money out of pocket as you thought you were going to.
Okay.
Okay.
I had to talk to a guy. I came up with something today that I thought would be a little bit closer.
Mm-hmm. I think that is your best course, because the hidden thing around your other plan is, it could be a lot of running around, and it just looks like hassles and lost money. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to the one woman, I felt like a glorified cashier is what the position she was going to give me.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there you go, my dear. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brenda. I just want to let all of the people waiting that we will get to them, just stay on the line. You get to listen to the show whilst we're giving readings, but we know you're there and we will get to you all. Okay, now the next caller is for Maureen, and this is a caller from Illinois, Maureen.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, Illinois. This is Maureen.
Hello, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol. And what can I shed some light on for you?
You can shed some light on me for like a healthy relationship. When will I find a good, strong, healthy relationship?
You're looking for a healthy mm-hmm. relationship is what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Healthy, sincere relationship. No games. No.
Yeah, I got all the stuff that we women deserve.
No kidding, no.
And right now, Carol, is there anyone particular I want to ask you right out so I can get right to, because of the time restraint here? Is there anybody particular that you're having on your mind, though? Are you open to any new individual coming into your life? Because
I'm open.
Great. Okay, that's all I want to know. Okay. This is what I'm getting. there's no doubt. I mean, you've had some unfair situations going on, and the best way I can say right now to release from that is to not carry that with you, because you know, these guys are also not healthy. Now, you've done a lot of work, I can see, on yourself, but I think that you're forgetting this, because I really feel that you need to take a good look at yourself and grab hold of yourself and know that you've done a lot of work from all the experiences you had with not being in healthy relationships. So you're way ahead of the game than most people. Now, I do feel that, you know, I see somebody coming back around from your past that it from way far away, but it feels very nurturing. It feels very positive, or that's what you actually are longing for, where you're getting cared for as well. Nurturing being between each other. And I do feel that you're going to, you know, this is the thing I'm also getting within the next, after the first of the year, I feel that it's going to be very interesting, because you've gone through this getting healthy. So now you want to be in a healthy relationship. You know what you don't want. And I feel that it's going to be awkward, because you'll notice you'll be attracted to a person that you would normally not think that it would be good. And when you think that might be the case, go for it, because that means that there has been a change going on from what work you've done. Because a lot of times, you know, it just happens. We get into that pattern and we just almost like magnets, and we pull those negative, unhealthy people. But I feel that because you have gone this far, I do see, like, after the first of the year, I do see a good opportunity, but it will feel awkward again, because it's like, here you go, but you don't know why you would be attracted. Open yourself up. I'm not seeing so much of a person. I can't see the face of a person. Well, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I do see. There's two. You'll have a. There is an opportunity. There's one that it looks a little bit older. He's very down. He's like a spiritual man, but he may be a businessman, but he also is very objective in counseling, and he's very sensitive, and he's caring, and he's very special. And then there's another individual whom I think that you would normally be attracted to from the past, unhealthily so, and he's more assertive and kind of pushy, but he looks like he'd be a lot of fun or something. I feel that you should be opened up to this other gentleman that may be different than all the rest, because I think he would be fantastic. And he appears like he has a lot more wisdom. He looks maybe a little older, but he has a very soft looking face with light eyes. And he's really great. But I think you'll have two.
Which one is this?
Pardon me?
Which one is this, you say?
The one I'm feeling is very positive. The one you normally wouldn't be attracted to is one that's more, he's spiritually connected. He could be a counselor. He could be someone like that, or people come to him for advising. And he looks a little bit older, and he has light eyes. He is a really good, it looks like he's a really good person to connect with. And I feel that there'll be another one, though, who looks a little bit younger, but it's very aggressive. And it looks like the ones in the past you may have been around, but he's more exciting maybe, but that will not be a good one. You'll have a choice. I do feel that this other man I'm seeing with light eyes, he's wonderful. And he's very, like I said, trustworthy, sincere, and he's very kind, and he's good. And this is someone that you're not used to. Pardon me?
Has he been through a lot of relationships or something?
The one that I'm seeing is good. You know what? He's been through a lot of experiences he's been through a lot of his demons already. He's done all his work on himself. This is what I'm saying. You won't have to deal with any of his stuff. You know, this is what I'm talking about. That's what you've been doing. Wait, you know, working out with these people. He's already done his work. He's a healthy guy, and he'd be excellent. He would be an excellent partner for you.
And
so,
will I meet him?
Pardon me?
When will I meet him, or when?
Well, I see him coming up around February. Both of them around February. There's two, but like I said, this one I said he's lighter in the eyes. He's a real gentle soul, but he's not. You know, he's a man. He's a successful man, but he's gentle and he's sincere and he's spiritual. Connected. He's not like walking around all spiritual hoochie coochie, but you know, it's just someone that you normally wouldn't decide you'd be attracted to, but he is a good, healthy one. Okay?
Okay, you said about February next year.
I feel, yeah, he's coming. He's going to be around right after the first of the year. Obviously, actually, very much so. So there you have it. And I know you'll make the right choice, okay? Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Maureen. Well, the next call is for me. And this is a call from Wisconsin. Who's calling?
Yes, my name is Jennifer. I was calling. There was something that had happened to me a couple of weeks ago, and I was kind of disturbed by it, and I was just wondering why it happened to me and why I went through that. Why did I feel that?
Okay, let me see. So this was at the end of October.
Yes.
My guides are saying you're very sensitive. You have very deep feelings. And, you know, we were talking about astrology in the interview with Christopher Gibson. And it's water that's symbolic of emotion and intuition, feeling, connection to spirit. And I feel that in all ways, whether it's in the physical world or on the astral, so interacting with spirit, you need to have more layers of protection around yourself. I feel that you're very trusting, but sometimes you trust too much and get hurt. And I feel that you need to recognize that you're very sensitive and therefore you can be vulnerable to getting hurt. And so my guides are saying, just be more cautious, be less trusting. Not everybody is as well-intentioned as you are. And you've got to be more discerning about the situations you put yourself in and the people you allow into your life. And also the spirits that you interact with as well. Because again, you're all sensitive, but you've got to make sure that when you open up to people or to spirit, you do it in a way or from a position of strength, clearly in control of yourself, and clear that you're not going to allow anybody to take advantage or be inappropriate. So it's really about having stronger boundaries. And they say you need stronger self-esteem as well. Does that make sense to you?
Kind of, but I don't understand the interaction with the spirits kind of part.
Well, my guides are saying that you're well attuned to spirit. I don't feel that was the problem that you had 2 weeks ago, but I do feel that you're very emotional and we all have ups and downs emotionally. It's normal, but I feel that you're particularly sensitive to other people and to other entities. So we're surrounded by people, and we're also surrounded by spirit. And when we're sensitive, we pick up on things. And so they say that you are affected in some way by spirit, and you do need to be more aware of spirit and of protecting yourself so that you're not affected by other people and by spirit. That you're really in control of yourself, because your moods are a little up and down. And I don't mean that you're moody with other people. I mean that you feel up and down. And that's partly because you're very sensitive. You're picking up on things, but you're not being strong enough in your sense of self and in your boundaries with others, whether that's others in this world or others in spirit. Does that explain it to you?
Kind of, but see, what had happened the couple weeks ago is that I nearly, like, I died, and I was trying to fight to come back, and it, like, really, really terrified me. I thought I saw the devil, and I mean, seriously, like, this terrified me. I literally, like, died, and like I had to plead with God, and then I saw my mom, and I didn't know if I was supposed to go towards her. I mean, this like really, really freaked me out. And then this came out of my wall in my room, and I woke up, and I thought that I was, I thought that I, you know, I felt it, and I knew this happened to me.
Well, you made a choice, and that was to be here. I had a similar experience some years ago, and there's really nothing to fear. You can take great comfort from the fact that you experience the spirit world. You experience the fact that your mother's there. You experience the fact that there's something after this life, that the soul continues to exist. And I really don't feel there's anything to fear. What I do feel is that kind of experience opens you up a lot spiritually, and you are very sensitive to the spirit world. And so you need to start understanding more about the astral realm, how we interact with spirit. You know, listening to some of the things Christopher Gibson said at the beginning of the interview about the outer world, which is the physical world, and the inner world, which is the astral plane and beyond. And the threshold between the two is the speed of light. It's called the etheric boundary line. And you transcended that boundary line and experienced the spirit world. And that is a very transformational experience. And it will absolutely heighten your awareness of spirit. So you will have more and more spiritual experiences, more interaction with spirit. And you've got to get your sense of self really strong, your self-esteem really strong. And you've got to be very discerning and in control of what you experience with spirit. But trust me, you'll see that your ability will expand dramatically. But there's nothing for you to fear.
And how do I do that? And what spirits do you see around me? Do you see anybody around me, or?
Actually, I keep on getting the name Maureen, and I know that one of my colleague Maureen is on the show, but I keep on getting the name Maureen, and I'm very drawn to 1969. You have a relative on your mother's side of the family that would have passed in 1969. That's quite a long time ago, so it's probably before your time. But I feel that you're increasingly surrounded by guides. I feel that you had that experience to really open up your awareness of spirit, see how real this is, and to take it seriously. Because I don't feel that in the past, prior to this experience, you've fully bought into the fact that we can connect with spirit and that we can be of service by doing that. And so you've had this very dramatic experience that's marked you, but it's meant to. It's a wake-up call that you are attuned to spirit and you can use that ability. And if you want to look at that in more detail, look at psychicbloggers.com and start to read some of the material on there. There's a lot of good material out there. And call one of the psychics or psychic access for more advice about your ability, your path, and to see how you can move forward with it. But you're just being opened up to spirit, and there's nothing to fear. You're going to be okay. All right?
Okay, but you don't see like my parents around me or anything?
I could feel your mother, and as I said, I got the name Maureen, and I got the year 1969. I can't feel your father right now, to be honest with you, but I was closing down because we don't only have so much time. But give me a call on Psychic Access, or come to my chat room in Psychic Access, and we'll look at it in more detail for you, okay?
Okay. And all what's right. your name, Bobby? Or
no, I'm Steve. Everyone thinks I'm Bobby today, but no, I'm Steve. Okay?
Steve, okay. All right.
Good luck.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Steve.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah.
You're welcome. Everyone thinks I'm Bobby today.
You are.
No, he's just Steve. He's Steve. He's uniquely Steve.
Well, Brenda, you've got a call from Florida.
Okay, I'm ready, Florida. What do you need?
Hi, my name is Latrice.
Hi.
I have I'm so glad to be on. I have some very lofty dreams. I want to travel the world with my children and my husband, and I want to write a book. And so I've been having a lot of different feelings. Like, I'm a writer, and I'm so emotional, and the election affected me. So many things affected me, and like I often feel like I'm being pulled in different directions. And I just want to know, like, what do you see around me as far as travel and as far as writing? Like, what is the vibration you see?
Okay, let's look. Well, the very first thing I saw is writing talent. So you do have writing talent, but what I'm seeing now is that it's important not, you've got so many different ideas. It's important, and I'm seeing like especially three ideas that are kind of swirling around you now. I think it's important right now, and I'm getting a sense of urgency for you because you are a very emotional person and you want to write about all these things that, you know, are current events, but there's also a story in it as well, that you need to just start writing and the rest will unfold for you. One of the things that I am seeing though is, you know, it's a balance. And if you start your writing right now, I mean, it's the type of thing where it's work and it takes a while and it's not going to happen right away. But once you get in the swing of it, and once you get some of those the chapters outlined and you get focused on your direction, then I feel that that leads to the other things in your life. I feel that the travel and the writing are connected, but one has to happen before the other one. It looks like you have a lot of distractions around you, and but you're very open as far as like your intuition. As are you putting your intuition and some of your own feelings into these books?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Have you started? Have you made yourself a chapter outline?
I have more than three chapter outlines for different books. I have so much writing. Like, I already have like 100 pages. But for me, it's like once I write something, it's hard for me to go back to it. Like, it's almost as though like I need that to be channeled in some way, you know?
Well,
Like,
you
I
have
need
to.
some.
Yeah, I'm getting it's about completion. It's about focusing on one thing because there's three things that I see in your writing. Keeps coming up three, three, three. So just write it. Just get it down. And I don't know who it was that said it that writing is rewriting, but writing is rewriting. So you know that you're going to write your first draft, then you're going to edit it, then you're going to polish it, and then it'll be ready. But if you don't just do it, then it won't get done. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, definitely. And do you see, like, as far as my intuition is concerned, and I've been dreaming since I was a little girl, and sometimes it's hard for me to be in the physical world because I know that there's so much more around me. Like, but, you know, balancing the two for me is hard. Like, what do you see as far as my intuition is concerned?
I feel that your writing and putting it down on paper and weaving that into the writing that you're doing is going to ground you. Oftentimes people who are intuitive and they have this intuition and they have a message, but they feel very scattered, they feel very ungrounded, they start to journal. Do you see what I mean? And that brings them
Right.
down, that focuses that energy. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
So you are on the right track. You just need to do it, do it, do it. Write every day. You must write every day to make it happen.
I've been
Okay?
doing that. Like that.
You're
Thank
on
you
the
so
right
much.
track with this. You are. Keep going.
Do you see like an overarching message for me, like as a person, like in terms of what I'm here to represent? Because there's a whole rainbow inside me, you know?
There is a rainbow inside you, and I feel that this is going to come through your writing, and that is the single most important way of getting it out there and teaching to as many people as you can is through written works. Yeah.
Thank you. And what's your name?
Right. My name's Lady Brenda, and you can, if you want some more information, you can find me on psychicaccess.com for more details. All right, honey. You take care.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Good luck to you, honey. Good luck.
Right, thank you, Brenda. Well, that brings us to the end of another great show.
We have another caller? No? I'm sorry, Steve. I thought.
Do we? I thought that was the last call.
Maybe I'm wrong, but Oregon.
I know we do. For you, Maureen, from Oregon.
Yeah, so I guess I'm just a psychic. Hi, Oregon. Sorry. Hi, Oregon. How are you? Oregon? I love Oregon. I love that state. Raining.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, there you are. Hi.
My apologies. My microphone was muted.
No worries. And what's your name?
My name's Brian.
Hi, Brian. And what can I help shed some light on for you this evening?
Well, Maureen, I was kind of rattling around some questions I might ask, and I think probably what's most pressing is I've been on this kind of metaphysical journey for many, many years, over half of my life, and I feel like I'm making some great progress. However, after this amount of time and as much knowledge as I've gained and, practices I've been able to glean, I feel like I'm not quite making the progress as timely as I would like, or that I feel like I probably should be. And so I'm kind of trying to get some insight as to what I can do. What kind of energies are around me? How, am I as close to being online as I think I am, as I feel I am? And, kind of thing.
Brian, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to overtalk you, but I got exactly what you're saying because I can identify with what you're saying because of my experience with my journey and stuff. Okay. So this is the thing. I feel that you're actually very well. I think that you're there. You're there. The thing of it is I'm getting is that you're looking for, it's almost like in a way you're looking for some type of ship to come back to you saying so. That's metaphorically, symbolically. You know, I don't mean there's a real ship. You know what I mean. But the thing of it is.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I feel that you're underestimating your own insight already. But, you know, like for me, for instance, I'm going to give you an example that I think you may be able to identify. The fact of it is, I know what you're going through. I get the same feeling. And I've been doing this for 25-something years, and it still continues. The show I do here, I always get more insight from the guest. It's amazing. And sometimes I feel like I need more, even after 20-something years. I feel that will always be the case for someone that's seeking, but you're already there. You got it. You got it going on, Brian. There's no doubt about it. I just feel you need to be a little bit okay with yourself. I think that you're underestimating what you've gained. And so you start losing your faith. And faith, what I mean by that is it's not, you know, religious. It's however, you know, whatever. I live at the beach, for instance. Whatever it takes for you to go and grasp hold of yourself, like I would go to the beach and do a crazy dance and whatever, or, you know, some people go to church. Some people go into an area of their home and just sit and because it has some neat stuff around it. Do you get what I'm saying? I feel you
absolutely.
Really need. Yeah, I think that you need to give yourself a little bit more. You have it. You have you are it. If you can follow me on that, you are it. You got it. But I feel that you will always need to seek knowledge. People think that we don't need to, like, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years. Brenda's been doing this for a while. The thing is, I'm constantly seeking more knowledge. And when I stop doing that is when I get, like, I question myself like you're doing right now. So you're okay. Everything is as it should be. And I feel that what happens when you get insecure or you're underestimating yourself, you start blocking out your psychic communications throughout, well, the way you communicate in psychically speaking. I really, like I said, I really feel that you're just you're doing fine. And I feel that you should just continue to do what you're doing and not question how far in advance, because there's no rule to that. There isn't. There is no rule to it. That's the way I'm seeing it. And I can see already that you're going about it. You're just where you're supposed to be. And I do see you heading towards it even more so, whichever direction that is. Sometimes you need to take a break too.
Yeah. You know, generally speaking, I feel pretty much everything you've said. I feel that. And so I guess it was, you know, more than anything, probably some confirmation I was looking for surrounding that, and maybe, you know, maybe a little extra insight. Some of the things I've been working on of late are reaching out much more directly to my guides, and I am, maybe this is a good question to ask. My intuition is something I feel like I'm always struggling with, because I'll give you a, for instance, you know, I get this fleeting thought in the back of my mind. It comes and it goes just as, you know, goes away as quickly as it came. And it's just a flash, and it doesn't feel like anything. It doesn't seem like it should be anything I pay any attention to. And then 5 or 10 minutes down the road, I realize, hey, you know what? I should have paid attention to that, because now I've got a flat tire, or now I'm out of gas, or, you know, now I'm down the road and you know, I've forgotten something that I thought about and probably should have grabbed when I thought about it. But, you know, it's anything like that. And it also relates to, like a lack of return, or my own reception,
right,
if you will,
messages
from my higher self, my guides, things like that.
You just brought that up, Ryan. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the fact you've just brought that up, to be self-aware and look at any kind of sign whatsoever as being a very real sign, like you said, a little flat tire, anything, you should pay, and you should write these things down. It may be silly to someone else, but to you, no, it's not. This is your journey in this. You don't, like I said, nothing is insignificant. You need to, you're already self-aware about these little signs. You should pay attention to them. That's the first, that's fantastic that you are. And you're on the right track, no doubt about it. And, you know, I hate to cut this off. I need to go, but you can contact us on psychicaccess.com, and we offer people, you know, six minute free readings. And I think that you are on a really good track, and you are self-aware. You brought up those signs. Keep note those signs that you're seeing, really note them, because they have come to be right. Like you said, you need to pay attention. You're doing fine, and more than you know, and the signs that you brought up are a really good example of that. There's signs everywhere as far as I'm concerned, no matter what.
Good enough,
silly as they may be.
I'll let you guys go. Thank you so much for your insight.
Thanks, Brian. And come back next week. We're doing free readings for 2 hours, okay?
Awesome. Namaste.
Thanks, Brian. Okay, bye-bye.
Great. Thank you, Maureen. And as Maureen said, we've got a whole show of readings next week. So join us on Thanksgiving Day at 8 o'clock Eastern Time for a 2-hour show of readings. It'll be a lot of fun and an opportunity to spend time together on that special day. And I want to thank Doug before we wrap up the show. Thank you, Doug, for taking care of us behind the scenes and keeping us on track. And thank you to you, Brenda and Maureen, and to our wonderful guest, Christopher Gibson. And I hope you all have a wonderful weekend, and see you next week. Over to you, Brenda and Maureen. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bless your hearts.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. psychicaccess.com.